Up to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1. Galatians, chapter number 1. Galatians, chapter number 1. For you that are here on Wednesday nights, we're going through a series in the book of Galatians. And then there was a verse this week as we are getting ready for next week's lesson or message, whatever you want to call it, sermon. And there's a spot there that the Lord spoke to my heart about preaching about on a Sunday morning. And there's just one verse that really stands out. We're going to look at a couple different verses, but there's just one main text or theme verse for this morning. It's found in Galatians chapter number 1. I'm going to start in verse number 10. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 10. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 10, the Bible says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past, and the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Now the book of Galatians is written to a group of churches in this area of Galatia, probably about at least five or six different churches. The Apostle Paul on his missionary journey, on his first missionary journey, went to this area, started some different churches, saw people saved, saw people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, baptized people, and then they began all these different churches, and the Apostle Paul discipled these people, and they made all these things work out, and they had all these different local independent churches. And after Paul left, a group of men came in. And the men that came in behind the Apostle Paul, what they did is they began to teach them something differently than what the Apostle Paul taught. They began to teach him some type of different gospel. They began to say, hey, you need to be saved by grace through faith, but that's not all you need to do. You need to then observe the laws of Moses. And Paul hears about this. When Paul hears about this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he pens this book written out to these churches in Galatia, and he says to them that they were wrong. And he begins to describe and tell them all the different things that they were wrong about and how that salvation is through grace and grace alone. And that you cannot add works to salvation because no longer is it by grace if you try to add works to it. And that's what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights a little bit. And the Apostle Paul here is proving or showing and demonstrating the authority he has because it came from God, his apostleship did. Look what it says in verse number 1 in chapter 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle," says, "not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him up from the dead." So Apostle Paul says, look, the message I'm sending has come from God. I was not called by a man. I was not sent through a man. I was called and sent by God. And in chapter number 1, verse number 10 in Galatians, he says, am I supposed to please men or am I supposed to please God? Am I supposed to persuade men or am I supposed to persuade God? And he says, if I go and all I'm trying to do is to please men, I'm not really a servant of Jesus Christ. So this morning when we look at this passage of Scripture and look at these thoughts, here's the title of the message is, A Heart That Seeks to Please God. A heart that seeks to please God. Our goal for 2014, actually should be a goal for our lives, is that we have a heart for God. There's a theme for this year, is having a heart for God. That means having a heart for the things of God and having a heart for God's word, having a heart for the things that God has for us. And here in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 10, Apostle Paul is telling this church here who's confused because other people have come in and tried to change the Apostle Paul's teaching. He says, look, I'm not trying to please you. I'm not trying to please anybody. All I'm trying to do is please God. And that's what we need to look at and try to understand, that we should have a heart that seeks to please God. To be honest with you, if you try to please everyone, it's never going to happen. Yeah, it's never going to happen. You're never going to make everybody happy, no matter how hard you try. But if you try to please God, then God will be pleased and God will be able to bless. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be here and, Lord, to be able to open up your word. I pray today, Lord, that you work in our hearts about seeking your approval, seeking to please you. Lord, we're pushing and pulling so many different ways, but always, Lord, help us to have a heart that would want to please you. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you look in verse number 10, and then one of the first words it says, for do I, and there's the word now, for do I now persuade. Now, here's the thought. The Apostle Paul, before he was saved, most of us would know, his name was Saul, and he went out, and his job was to go out and persecute the church. What Saul would do is he would travel to different areas, he would travel to different places, and if a person was a Christian, if a person was a believer for Jesus Christ, he would take him out of their house and bring them to court cases or bring them before the different religious boards or the religious trials. And he even talked about how he helped put people to death for no other reason than the fact that they believed in Jesus Christ. And if you look here in verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul was saying, in times past, in my former way of doing things, I cared about pleasing men. Look what it says in verse 13. It says, for ye have heard of my conversation. And that's in reference to, he's saying, the way I used to live. Before I was a Christian, my conversation in time past, and the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Look at what it says in verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion. He's saying, look, I profited at what I was doing. I became head of the Jews' religion. He says, the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own strength, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now, these people are saying that Paul is not really an apostle. They're questioning Paul's authority. They're questioning, saying Paul should not even be preaching and teaching these things because Paul just does what everybody wants him to do. Paul will say one thing to one person and say something else to somebody else. He only cares about pleasing people. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying in chapter 1, verse number 10. And he's saying, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Here's the thought. Am I a servant of Jesus Christ? And if I am a servant of Jesus Christ, am I seeking to please the person who is my master? Let's look here. The first thing I want you to get is persuading men. The first point is persuading men. Now, Paul is not trying to persuade men by pleasing men. Paul is trying to please God by persuading men. You say, what do you mean? Take your Bibles and go back a few pages, probably to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Shouldn't be back that many pages farther. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, the Apostle Paul talks about how he persuades men. And I don't want anybody to get confused. I don't want anybody to get lost here in this idea. Paul is not trying to gain the favor of men in order to please them. Paul is trying to please God with his life. And as Paul pleases God with his life, God has told us as Christians and believers to reach out and to compel and to persuade men to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look what it says in verse number 11. It says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Now, that terror of the Lord, people are saying, that's not what you usually talk about. When you come to church, you hear people talk about the love of God. You talk about all the good things, and there's a lot of good things that goes along with God. But God is also a holy God. And we do know, because of what the Bible teaches us, what the end is going to be for anyone who does not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so what Paul is saying here, look, for we do know, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Now skip down to verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Go down to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you go back to Galatians 1:10, he's saying, look, do we persuade men or God? And the Apostle Paul is saying here, we are going to persuade men because we want to please the Lord. And here it says that the reason why we persuade men is because we understand what man's future is. We understand what man's future is because the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. I don't care who you are, if you've been to church all your life or if this is your first Sunday here. I don't care if you've done a lot of good things or you've done a lot of bad things. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and because of that sin, there is an eternal punishment waiting for all of mankind in a horrible place called hell. And because of that place, Jesus Christ came down to this world to die for sinners and to pay their sin debt for them. And anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and cry out to God, asking Jesus Christ to save them from their sins, will be saved and on their way to heaven. This is what the Bible is talking about here. And Paul says, we go and we persuade men, and we try to persuade men, and the idea here is to get them saved because we understand the terror of the Lord. We know what's going to happen someday. And because of that, we try to persuade. The Bible puts it another way in Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. We are supposed to compel. We are supposed to try to get people to understand their need and show them their opportunity to be saved through Jesus Christ. What it says in verse 14, the love of Christ constraineth us. Because of God's love for us, it constrains us. It says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That Jesus Christ went on that cross and he died for all mankind, then all of us are dead and all of us are in need of a Savior. And you look what it says in verse 15, and that he died for all. So if you've never been saved, Jesus Christ died for you. The question is, do you believe in it? Have you put your faith and trust in him? And he keeps on going. He says, which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So if Jesus Christ died for you, you put your faith in him. You're not supposed to live for yourselves. Instead, you're supposed to be living for the person who died for you. Look what it says in verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and that's the question, are you in Christ today? I'm not asking you how much works, good works you've done. I'm not asking how many penance you've paid. I'm not asking how many trips you made somewhere. I'm not asking what type of rituals you do. Are you in Christ? How do you get in Christ? It's by putting your faith and trust in him and asking him to save you, according to what the Bible says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So let's think about this once again. When we consider persuading men, this passage of scripture tells us that Paul says, yes, we persuade men. But why do we persuade men? We persuade men so we can please God. God desires that we go and compel people to come in, that we compel people to come into his house so where they can hear the preaching and teaching of God's word, so that way people can be saved and on their way to heaven. So we do persuade men in that aspect, but we do not try to persuade men in the idea that we would try to please men. The pastor, you're confusing me a little bit. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 1. I'll try to help you here. Galatians chapter number 1, not only do we persuade men, but it talks about how we please God. Pleasing God. Not only is it about persuading men, but it's about pleasing God. Now, I want you to understand that either you're pleasing God with your life, or you're pleasing yourself, or you're trying to please someone else. See, the Bible tells us that no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What the Bible's saying is that, hey, look, you're going to either please God with your life or you're going to please someone else. Here's the question. Who are you trying to please? Paul says here, look, I'm not living to try to please someone else. I'm only living to please God. And the Bible talks about you cannot serve God and somebody else. Now, we like to think that, hey, I can go and I can please this person, and still please God. But God says there's a certain spot and a certain time. Either you have to please yourself, please somebody else, or please God. Today, who are you trying to please? Now, if you have a heart that seeks to please God, the Bible says you're not going to be entangled with the things of this world. In 2 Timothy, it says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. The Bible's saying that, hey, look, if you want to please God, you can't get mixed up with the things of this world. The Bible says you can't love the things of this world, that God has to be the number one priority. So are we seeking to please men? Are we seeking to please God? The Apostle Paul here is saying, look, before I was saved, when I went and I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, that is when I was trying to please men. I was trying to make a man happy. I was trying to make an individual happy. But now that I serve God, all I care about is pleasing God. Take your Bibles this time and go to Ephesians. Now, once again, it's not that far over. It's to your right this time. Ephesians chapter number 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, it has a little bit of a commentary on this about how we're supposed to serve. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start in verse number 1. It covers a lot of different relationships, a lot of different people here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, it said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not unto your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Now look what it says in verse number 6. "Not with eye service as men's pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." What the Bible is saying here, it talks about children, it talks about parents, it talks about servants, it talks about a lot of different relationships. And in verse number 6, he says, look, you're not supposed to be serving for man. It says, "not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Here's the question. Are we doing the will of God because we want to please him? Or are we doing things for God because we want to be seen of men? The Bible says, "not with eye service as men pleasers." When we do things, it's not supposed to be trying to please men. As we heard in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, "Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So let's ask ourselves some questions. Am I seeking to please men or God? Now, I wrote down some things here. It's am I pleasing God with my service? You say, what do you mean service? When we go out to do something for the Lord, whether it be singing the choir, whether it be ushering, or whether for me it be preaching or teaching, or whatever it is that we do in the name of God, that we do for Jesus Christ, am I doing it to please God? Or am I doing it to be seen of men or to please men? Is God pleased with my witness? Is God pleased with my worship? What do you mean by your worship? It means, is God pleased with the way that you sing and the way that you speak of him, the way that you, the different ways you demonstrate your worship and your praise to him? Is God pleased with my Bible study? Is God pleased with my giving? Is God pleased with my relationships and friendships? Is God pleased with my dress? Is God pleased with what I'm doing in my marriage? Is God pleased with how I'm doing at work? You say, Pastor, what do you mean at work? The Bible says that we're supposed to be the best Christians, or should be the best workers out there. Why? It's not because we're working for the man, or not working for our boss. We're doing it for the Lord. It's not for men, not being for eye service, for men pleasers. Is God pleased? And there are so many different things you can put there. Now, what type of pastor would I be, or what type of preacher would I be, if all I did was preach messages that would be only pleasing to you? You know what I would be? I'd be like a lot of those guys that are on TV today. I might have a lot bigger church. I might drive a lot fancier car. I might have a lot more people come to the church house. But you know what? If I'm going to get up and I'm going to preach, I'm not going to preach try to please you. I'm not going to get up to preach try to please my wife. When I'm going to get up and I'm going to try to preach, I'm going to try to do it to please God. And that's and you say, Pastor, that's the way you should be. That's why we come to this church, is because we want you to preach because you think this is what God wants you to preach. Well, I want you to serve because that's the way God wants you to serve. I want you to do everything you do the way that God will want you to do, because you're trying to please him with your life. You're not trying to please me. You're trying to please God. And like I said, you would not have any respect for me if all I did is went around and said, hey, what do you want me to preach about next week? And I wrote down the things that would make you happy. And that's what I would preach. If you wanted that, you could stay at home and watch some guys on TV. Because they say, hey, we don't preach on sin. We don't want to condemn anybody. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. You know what? That's not pleasing to God. What pleasing to God is preaching his word. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful, trying to be mean or ugly. I'm going to say, the people I know in this church, I love. They're part of my family, my church family. And God's given me the opportunity to be your pastor and your under-shepherd here. And you know what? I'm going to please the Lord, though, with my preaching. Just like I hope you please the Lord with your service. Because I'm not trying to do things to please man. I'm trying to please God. And when we look at this, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying to this church of Galatia, all these churches in this Galatia area. He says, look, I'm not trying to please anybody. He says, I didn't get my message from you. I didn't get my message from those religious men. I didn't get my message from these Judaizers that are trying to tear things up that we started. He says, I'm looking to please God with my life. Even earlier, the verses earlier that in Galatians 1, he says, look, whether it be an angel or even myself, if I come and preach another gospel, let him be a curse. Go ahead and let him be a curse because of the fact that if anybody comes and preaches a different gospel, you shouldn't listen to him. And sometimes a preacher or a pastor is going to have to preach on things that are not popular. Sometimes a preacher is going to have to preach on things such as abortion and homosexuality and false cults. And sometimes they're going to have to preach on giving. And sometimes they're going to have to preach on how a husband should love their wife and how a wife should submit to their husband. Sometimes they're going to have to preach on things that really people just don't want to hear. But, you know, the Bible says these are truths that need to be proclaimed. And I need to preach according to what? The things that please God. I'm going to preach it. We need to be faithful. Is that because I want to see more people here at church? No, because I think it's pleasing to God. I'm going to preach that we should do this and do that. Why is that? Because I want to please the Lord with my life and with my preaching. Am I doing this act of service to please men, or am I truly serving, striving to be a servant of God? That's something we need to ask ourselves. Why are we here this morning? Pastor, are we not supposed to? You're supposed to be here. But you're supposed to be here because this is pleasing to God when you come to his house, because the Bible tells us that. You know, ask yourself, am I doing this act of service to please men, or am I truly striving to be a servant of Christ? Remember that others may judge you, but you will not give your account of your life to someone else. You'll give your account to God someday. Now, here's the thought. People can pat you on the back. People can say, hey, good job, way to go. And they can encourage you all along. But if you're not pleasing God with your life, doesn't matter how many people pat you on the back, someday when you stand before God by yourself, whether it be the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, you're going to have answers. Did I please God with my life? Stories told about a brilliant young concert pianist was performing in public for the first time. The audience was enthralled by the beautiful music flowed from the disciplined fingers, and the people could hardly take their eyes off this young masterpiece. As the final chords faded, the audience burst into applause. Everyone was standing except one man up front. The pianist walked off the stage, and the stage manager praised the performance, but the young man said, "I was no good. It was a failure." The manager replied, "Look out there. Everyone is on his feet except one old man." And the student said, "Yes, but that one old man is my teacher. And if he's not happy, then I must have failed." You know, in my life, if God is not pleased, then I haven't done what I was supposed to. Do you have a heart to please God? That's what we're trying to strive for. That's what we're trying to get at. Do you have the same desire for God's approval as that pianist had for his teacher's approval? Do you live your life looking for the Lord's approving smile on the things that you're doing? Because the Bible says, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What the Bible's saying there, Paul was saying, if I'm going to go out there and I'm going to try to please men, I can't be a servant of Jesus Christ. Here's the third thing. Not only is it about persuading men and pleasing God, there's a position of honor. There's a position of honor in this verse. And you see that phrase at the end. It says, servant of Christ. Servant of Christ. Now, you say, who in the world would want to be a servant? Who in the world would want to be a servant? What is a servant anyway? A servant is a person who is going to seek to please his master. a bondservant is, that word bond is very simply saying that they always do the work of his master. He's bonded to do the work of his master. Nothing would ever come before the master. And that's what the servant of Jesus Christ is. A person who is a servant to the master. You know, it's a place of honor to be able to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Wait. I don't want to be a servant. Well, the Bible says that we're all servants. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles one last time to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And if you can, I'd like for you to turn to this passage because there's something I want to show you. Romans chapter number 6, the Bible teaches us something that most of us do not like to hear. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 16. Here in Romans chapter number 6, we see that we are all servants to someone or something. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So what the Bible is saying here is that we're all servants. Either we are servants to sin or we're servants to righteousness. Say, "Pastor, I don't like to think I'm a servant to anything." Well, according to what the Bible's telling us here, this isn't me. Once again, if in my fleshly nature, I don't like it thinking it this way either. I don't like to think of myself as a servant to sin, but the Bible says here in verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield," it means the way you go, what you use your members to go and do, "yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey." So what you are obeying, you are becoming a servant of that, whether it's of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Look, it says in verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." So the Bible is saying that we were all servants of sin. The Bible says you're of your father, the devil, that we were all servants of sin. And when we obey the doctrine, when we obey the word, what the Bible says, putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing on him in our heart, confessing with our mouth, accepting Jesus Christ in our heart as a personal Savior, we were servants of sin. And what it says in verse number 17, we've come over here, but the God be thanked that you were servants of sin in the past, it's talking about, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. So when you became a Christian, when you obeyed the doctrine that was taught, no longer do you have to be a servant of sin. Look what it says in verse 18. It says, "Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." You used to be a servant of sin, but when you became a Christian, then you became a servant of righteousness. And in verse number 19, it puts it this way, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh." He said, now because of your fleshly nature, because you still have an old nature, you have a choice now. Because you become a Christian, you now have the opportunity to be a servant of righteousness or a servant of sin. It doesn't say you have a choice to be chance to be neutral. It doesn't say that you don't have to be a servant of something. The Bible says that you're going to be a servant either of sin or a servant of righteousness. Look what it says here. "For as you have yielded your members," that means whatever you do with your own life, whatever you do with your own members, your own facilities, your own fingers, your own hands, your own mind, your own feet, "for as you have yielded your members, servants of uncleanness unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." He says, as in times past, you used to yield your body to be servants of sin. Now you have the opportunity to use the same things that used to create and be a servant of sin. You can take your hands, your eyes, your feet, your mind, and become a servant of righteousness. The choice is yours. But here, you say, "Pastor, I thought you said this was a position of honor." It is a position of honor when you take your body and you serve Jesus Christ. It's a position of dishonor when you take your body and you serve your flesh. And that's what it's talking about, being a servant or trying to please men. See, the New Testament writers, they had it figured out. You know, Paul, Romans chapter 1, says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." Jude, when he wrote it, he says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ." What a servant does is always the master's will. And sometime this year, we're going to preach about having a servant's heart. But having a heart to be a servant or a servant's heart. But I want you to get this in understanding, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master. We should seek in our lives to please him. And it's just a simple question. I know we've taken a lot of minutes just to ask this question, just to try to help you trigger your thinking. Am I pleasing God or am I pleasing myself? Am I pleasing God or am I pleasing someone else? Because the Bible tells us that we can't be a servant of Christ and please somebody else. We can't go out and set out to please men and expect to remain a servant of Jesus Christ. If we're a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of God, we will please God with our lives. We're not going to please ourselves. We're not going to please others. The burden of being a servant from God is the consuming passion that we need to have. A heart for God. A heart of love for God. See, this is the difference and this is the key. This is what takes it from being an eye service of pleasing man and steps back and says, am I going to serve God with my life and please God with my life? Because out of a love for him, out of a heart for him, is the reason why I'm going to do, and you can put in that blank anything. The reason why I'm going to raise my kids right is because I want to please God with what God's given me. The reason why I'm going to love my husband, or the reason why I'm going to love my wife right, isn't because it's going to make it better marriage, it's going to make things better in the end, my in-laws will be happy. No, it's because I want to please God with it. The reason why I'm going to come to church is because God would be pleased with it. The reason why I'm going to give, the reason why I'm going to serve, the reason why I'm going to do anything I do, the reason why I'm going to forgive, the reason why I'm going to do anything is because of the fact I want God to be pleased with my life. The Apostle Paul is saying here, he says, look, if I go out to please men, I can't be a servant of Jesus Christ. And that's not what I'm looking to do. I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And because I want to be a servant of Jesus Christ, I can't worry about pleasing men. See, to many people, Apostle Paul could have just went to these people, these other Judaizers, and just worked out some type of compromise and says, okay, look, they want to believe this and you want to believe that. Let's try to see if we can work out some type of compromise. And Apostle Paul says, no. He says, if anything, they should be a curse for the things that they have taught. They should have a curse put on them for the fact that they are teaching a different gospel. He said, there is one true gospel, and that is through Jesus Christ. Now, here's the question. Who are you trying to please? And don't get me wrong, I do seek to please my wife. I do want her to be happy in her marriage. And there are things I do to try to make her happy. But if they go outside of pleasing God, then I got to please God. I can't please my wife then. We use that in counseling or when we're talking to people. I tell them, even when my wife is sitting there at times, I'll say, look, I like to make my wife happy. Life's a lot better when wives are happy. I mean, that's just right. Isn't that right, gentlemen? When the wife's happy, you know, what they say, when mama's happy, everybody's happy. But, you know, there are times when I had to tell them, I says, there are some times when I just had to do something that might not make my wife the happiest because I'm trying to please God instead. It's not that my wife wants me to do something that's unspiritual, ungodly, but as a husband and as a pastor, you know, people aren't always going to agree, aren't always going to see things the same way. And sometimes I got to tell her, says, you don't know all the details. I'm going to have to make this decision because this decision is going to please God. And that's what we've got to learn how to live our lives like. Am I living to please on my church family? So, pastor, we pay your paycheck. You better please us. That's not it. That's not it. You'd be surprised. Some people have told me that. And they says, well, we pay your salary. Shouldn't you do what we want you to do? No, I should do what God wants me to do. That's what you called me to do. And that's what I want to do. And that's what I'm going to do. Not that it's always going to make you dishappy. I mean, if we're going to get up and we're going to preach on things like homosexuality and abortion and, you know, the sins that probably none of you have ever struggled with, you know what? You guys are going to say, amen, that's great, that's wonderful. But when I start preaching about why you should be trying to please God with your giving, or please God with the way of forgiving one another, or please God with being kind one another, or please God with the saying by being a soul winner, or pleasing God with other areas that you might struggle with, then you're not going to be saying amen as much. You're not going to be as happy, maybe, because that's what we need to hear, because it's what I need to hear. So here today, it's a simple message. I know it took a long time to get to a simple message, right? Simple message is, am I pleasing God with my life? Am I pleasing myself? Am I trying to please somebody else? Or am I pleasing God? Now, I just want to, boil it all down that we should all be a servant of Jesus Christ. Because you know what the substitute is? It's a servant of sin. But I want you to all know this, and when you leave this place, realize this, is that either you're serving God today or you're serving sin. And the place of honor is being a servant of Jesus Christ. Being a servant of sin is not where you want to be. So I don't want you to leave this place being confused. If you try to please men with your life or yourself with your life, you're not going to be a servant of Jesus Christ. You're just not going to be it. Now, if you want to admit to the other side and what the obvious, what the Bible's teaching us is, then that's what we need to do. But I don't want you to leave this place saying, hey, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, sign me up, and then go out and try to please everybody else. It just doesn't work that way. Apostle Paul said, do I please men? He's like, no, I don't please men. I persuade men. I try to compel men to get right, to get saved, to get on their way to heaven. And he says, but when it comes to pleasing, I need to please God. And we should persuade men. We should go out and tell others. We should compel them to come in. We should do what we can to try to reach people with Jesus Christ, but never at being displeasing to God. The Apostle Paul, you know what? He would become anything for anyone as long as he never had to do something that would displease God. And that's what we got to look at. In my life, am I pleasing God? And go through that list. For you, my list might be a little different than yours, but we know the areas we struggle in. We know the spots that we need to work on and say, am I pleasing God with this? If the answer is no, we need to change it. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes.